Hey, let's talk about this. Today I want to talk to you guys, if you guys are taking notes, because I know you are, or if you just want to remember this. I want to talk to you guys about fire. Number one is because fire is awesome. Number two, because fire is cool. And number three is because fire is, like, all over the Bible. And it's true. Like, the Bible, okay, it's not just, like, a book, but it's a book that's full of different kinds of, like, pictures and metaphors and ideas. I know. I'm turning into, like, literature class and stuff like that. But it's true. God... Like, how do you describe God, right? Like, how? Like, there's not enough words, so you have to use words that are kind of like other things that don't have words yet. You know, you just can't, like, how do you describe cute, right? Like, you know things that are cute, like maybe you, or cats, or something. So the only way to describe it is by saying, well, cute's kind of like, or it is the, And that's kind of like how it is with God, too. Like, how do you describe God? He's not like some old white dude in a cloud with a beard. Like, that's not God, okay? That's like a weird old, that's Zeus, okay? That's not God. So how do you describe, so to figure out how to describe God, the Bible uses words and metaphors, pictures, and God's kind of like this. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, our God is a consuming fire. See, God's so big, he just begins to take everything into himself. God is so powerful. He's stronger than all things. I love the Bible talks about when God rolls in the scenes, it says that the mountains melt. It says that the trees get so excited they begin to dance. I mean, it uses these pictures that are really kind of cool if you think about it. And that's where we come into this place because all throughout the Bible it uses this picture of fire about our lives and the way God works in our lives. In Hebrews, it says that God's giving you a kingdom. That's a job. Like, God has a purpose for you. And it's not just to be like, just to float through life. God has a job that's so big, it basically makes you a king or a queen in his eyes. God has plans that are so big. He has places he wants you to go, things he wants you to do, degrees in college he wants you to get, families to start. He wants you guys to rule this place like you know what's going on. And he says, I want to do this, but you got to recognize I'm a consuming fire. So God's going to motivate us. He's going to push us forward to get to these places using his fire. Now, that's kind of a weird thing. I don't know if you've ever had an experience with fire, but it's quite unforgettable, right? I still remember the day where I was barbecuing, and my son was like 3 years old, and he did not yet understand many things. So he decided that the barbecue was something he would like to touch. And I still remember, like, all of his poor little baby fingers were, like, all bubbly and nasty, and it looked like chicken. So he had chicken fingers for like a week or two because he decided to touch a 500 degree barbecue with a bare hand. You don't forget those experiences, right? Right! Bad Dad of the Year award. But never did it again. And now he knows it's a bad idea. Unforgettable. Unforgettable. It's kind of funny that you describe God like a fire, because when you have a real experience with God, it's unforgettable. I still remember the day I was laid out for 45 minutes at a youth camp when God called me to be a youth pastor. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was crazy. Tears and mocos everywhere. And it was unforgettable because when you have an experience with God, you just can't deny it. We were talking about that just last Sunday night in our groups. So let's talk about this, because when I look at these pictures in the Bible, I find three fires that God loves to use in our lives. So I guess the question is, which one is he currently placing in your life? And fire is funny because when you respect it, it helps you. It makes you food and it keeps you warm. It shows you where to go in the dark. But when you don't respect fire, it begins to, well, I guess, consume you. It begins to hurt you. Turns your fingers into chicken fingers, right? It does unpleasant things to you. So when God rolls into your life, he wants to move you and do great things in your life. So when you begin to feel the fire of God, and that's not supposed to, we're not talking about hell, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. We'll get to that later. But when you begin to feel God's warmth, his motivation, his fire in your life, you got to know what to do with it. So when you look at the Bible, I found that there's these three different fires God loves to use in us. He loves to use the fire of, Well, this is going to sound weird, but it's the fire of pain. It's the fire of pressure and the fire of passion in our lives. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to say God's going to break your leg if you don't listen to him. I'm not telling you that because I'm just not here. That's not where I'm at, man. But there's a pain that God brings in our life. He allows in our life to move us. Now, that sounds kind of weird. And like I said, God's not out to hurt anybody. But you got to realize that when we do things that break God's heart, when we do things that hurt the people around us, there's a consequence, right? Like if you've ever lied about a friend, or if you've ever done that one stupid thing and lost a friend, you know that's consequence, right? When you disrespect your parents, maybe you got a whooping, or you got something taken away from you, or they don't trust you anymore. That's the pain of consequence, right? That happens to all of us. And even now, being an old man, I can say dumb things like, I wish I would have gotten in trouble more when I was a kid. Like I do. If I would have gotten in trouble more as a kid, then I wouldn't have done a couple stupid things that I wish I never would have done, okay? And maybe when you're my age, old, and you start getting gray hairs in your beard, ladies, then what will happen is maybe you'll wish that you would have gotten in trouble in some things too, and that might have saved you some pain in the future. And it's true. So God brings this heat into our lives. There's this letter that this man Paul wrote to his friends at a church, and he says, guys, I'm not sorry I sent this severe letter to you. Paul, that's the way they would communicate, right? He basically blew them up. He's like, I can't believe you're doing this and that, and this is what they're telling me, and you guys did what? Like crazy stuff. It was like super scandalous, like totally novella status, and it was really weird. And he's writing this letter to them, and he's just basically ripping them a new one. He's like, I can't believe, and God has so many, and he's just telling them, this is the way you're supposed to act. So he writes to them again. He's kind of like saying, okay, guys, look, I know I got a little cray on this last letter, but he says, I'm not sorry I sent that letter to you. In 1-2 Corinthians 7:8, I'm not sorry I sent that letter to you. I was sorry at first. He felt a little bad after he hit send, but I know it was painful only for a little bit. And now I'm glad. I'm glad for all the things I said, not because it hurt you, but because the pain it caused you led you to repent. It led you to change your ways. It's the kind of sorrow that God wants people to have. Not so you're harmed in any way, because the kind of sorrow that God wants us to experience leads us away from sin, and it results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, worldly sorrow, the sorrow that doesn't come from God, that lacks repentance. It's only a feeling, it's not action. And that results in spiritual death. You guys know what it's like. You do that one thing, that thing that you've been trying to stop doing, and then you're like crying and you're praying to God you don't get caught. And then you say, God, if I will never, ever, ever do it again if you just let me give away this time. Like, that's what happens. We do that all the time. Like, God, may they just not find out. And then and you feel terrible about it. And then, like, 2 days later, you do it again. Right? Or an hour later, whatever, you know, and we do this, and it's crazy because we do these things and we feel terrible about them, and then we forget how terrible we used to feel after we did it, and then we just do it again because we forget the pain that stuff caused us. Like, it's crazy. We do it all the time. I mean, that's the definition of an addiction, right? That's what happens when we have addictions or habits in our lives. Especially when it comes to things like drugs, you know, you put this stuff in your body, and it takes you high, and then it drops you low, and then all of a sudden you forget what the low is like, or to hide the low, you do it again, right? That's what people do. That's what we do with relationships sometimes, because you hate having your heart broken, so you find another boyfriend or girlfriend, or you don't want to be alone, or we forget what it's like. It happens to us all the time, and this is what Paul's talking about. This is what God's calling us to. He brings the pain of consequence so we can remember, okay, I've got to get through this. I've got to get over this. I've got to stop this. It's not to hurt us. Like Paul says, God's not trying to hurt people. He's just trying to show us this is what happens when we do things our way instead of his way. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And It's kind of funny. I remember hearing this story, this news story years ago about this girl, and she was born without pain sensors. Did you hear about that? It was crazy. It was this little girl, and they didn't really find out. The reason they found out was she had gotten like a cut or a piece of dust in her eye as a baby. But as a baby, she couldn't cry because she didn't know it hurt. So her parents never knew she had something stuck in her eye until her eye swole, got gooey, and she couldn't open it as a little baby. And it didn't hurt. So the parents wake up one day and they're like, ooh, something's wrong. You know, it's funny, but it's the pain in our lives that tells us something's wrong. When you stub your toe, when you have a little rock stuck in your foot, you know, in your shoe. It's those little things, you know. It's when you have a hangnail, like that one, that even after you get rid of it, it still hurts, right? Right? It's the worst. But it's those pains that tell us, hey, something's wrong, you need to check it out. And that's what happens when this sorrow comes into our life. When you do that thing, or maybe you're a Christian, or you become a Christian, and all of a sudden, like, you start to do things that you used to do all the time, but now you feel bad about them. You're like, this is a really bad deal. I used to do this without feeling bad. Well, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, this needs a change in your life. It's a sorrow that leads to repentance. It's funny, you know, in the Bible, this guy named Peter, he turns his back on Jesus, and he leaves and cries like a little girl all night. And then he decides to change his life, and he turns back to Jesus. But then this guy, Judas, turns his back on Jesus. And he feels so bad, he runs out. And instead of changing his life, he commits suicide. They've both felt bad. But one of them let that sorrow, that sadness, turn him back to God. The other one, well, he didn't know what to do with it. So it destroyed him. That's crazy, right? That's what Paul said. The godly sorrow, it leads to change in your life. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to change my friends. I'm going to begin to change the things that I look at. I'm going to open up. I'm going to share my pain with somebody. I'm going to realize this hurts. I'm never going to go this way again because God wants to change our lives. You channel the pain of somebody. You see, sorrow without action kills you. But sorrow, the pain, when it leads to change life, it makes a difference and it leads you back to God. See, God uses this fire of pain to lead us away. My son with the chicken fingers never touched the barbecue again because he could never forget. Don't do that. So all of a sudden, this fire gets used in our lives. And it's not a bad one. It just means that God's working on you. I still feel it. I still feel the pain of when I do stupid things, when I say dumb things, when I get in bad attitudes. I still feel the pain of this fire. And then all of a sudden, there's this fire. The second fire is this fire of pressure. It comes in your life. You know, okay, so if you ever became a Christian, you think this, I'm doing the right thing because you're supposed to go to church. I want to get closer to God. So what happens when you do the right thing? Everything goes well, right? That's what happens. When you do good things happen to you, right? No, it feels like it's the exact opposite. I've heard times where people give their hearts to God. They get off drugs and their family says, I liked you better when you were on drugs. It's true. People say jacked up things like that. I've heard it before. I know some of these people. And all of a sudden you're thinking, but I'm doing the right thing. If I'm going after God, why are things working wrong? Why are things falling apart when I give my heart to Jesus? And it's interesting, but sometimes that's because you're doing the right thing, right? Sometimes when you do the right thing, it only turns up the heat in your life. Because you become a target to the enemy. He says, hey, because, I mean, people are going to hell. Why would the devil bother with people going to hell? Like, that's like a done deal, right? But the people that are loving God, trying to change this world, trying to do the greatest things in the world, they become a target to the enemy. And he begins to look at us. And it says, sometimes the pressure in your life, when you do the right thing, that means you're exactly where you need to be. At the front of the battle, doing the greatest work for God. So what do? You grin. You bear it. You go harder. That's what you do, fool. You endure it and you push through. The Bible says that these fiery trials are meant to test us and make you stronger. I went on this workout with my wife yesterday. Worst decision in the entire world. My thighs are on fire. I'm trying not to go up the stairs right now, but it's like the worst. I'm like with all these like my wife and like these 50-year-old ladies and stuff like that. And they're like, burr, burr, burr. They're like just pounding it out. And like, I'm like, oh my God.
Make the pain stop.
But that's how I know I... That's how I know I'm working these thighs out. Because they hurt. It hurts because I'm doing the right thing, I think, right? It's not, yeah, I hope so. But it's a fire of trials. Trials and the temptations and these tests come our way. Right before Jesus started doing miracles in his ministry, what happened? The Holy Spirit led him to be tried in the desert. So maybe the fact that life is getting really hard right now doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means you're doing it exactly right. And God is using this hard time to set you up for the next big thing he wants to do in your life. So he's hoping that you'll hang on just hard and long and fast enough through the fire so you can make it through, so you can shine like gold. So when he has this next plan, this next season for your life, you are ready for it because he's getting your thighs ready for the next big climb up that mountain. So you got to feel the burn and last through it. Because he's bringing you to the desert to bring you to the miracle on the other side of that wilderness. First Peter says this. We were just talking about Peter. Remember Peter who denied Jesus and he cried like a little girl. A few years later, he writes this. He says, guys, friends, don't be surprised when you find yourself going through fiery trials. As if something strange was happening to you. He says, guys, you became a Christian and now life gets hard. Duh. That's the way it kind of supposed to happen. Because now you just joined the fight. Before you were just cruising on your way to hell. Now that you're on your way upwards towards heaven, it's a climb. Don't be surprised if something strange was happening to you. Instead, be glad. That's crazy. Be glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. You're walking in Jesus' footsteps. Was Jesus' life easy? No! You're a partner with Jesus in his suffering so that you have this wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to the world. If you're insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you're blessed. For the glorious Spirit of God rests on you. He just said that if life is hard, that simply means that God is pushing you further. It means you're exactly where you need to go. If people are making fun of you because you're a Christian, you're blessed because God's Spirit is upon you. If you suffer, it must not be for murder, stealing, or making trouble, prying, being busybodies in other people's affairs. He says, what's the use? Hard times are going to come either way. You might as well make sure the hard times are coming for the right reason, not the wrong reason. There's a story about this dude back in the 1500s named William Tyndale, and good old Billy. Billy T, yeah, almost. Billy T, he lived in England back when the Bible, only the priests could read the Bible. And it was illegal to read the Bible in your own language. Illegal. You'd go to jail for that. You'd maybe get killed. I know. We're like super spoiled today. It's on your phone in like 15 different languages, at least. And back then it was illegal. So what did he do? He went underground and he began to translate the Bible in English so everybody could read it. Well, the priests began to find out, and they were super angry. Matter of fact, they went on a witch hunt for him. Funny, that's a funny term. They went on a hunt for him. Well, he was broke, so he wasn't finished with the translation, so he decided, okay, I'm just going to sell it anyway. I'm going to sell it unfinished. Well, the priests, the bishops, they heard about it, and they were super mad. They're like, you know what? I know what we're going to do. If he's going to print this, got it. We're going to buy them all up and burn them. That'll show him. So guess what they did? They bought them all up. They put them in a big pile, and they set them on fire. And they're like, now nobody's going to read the Bible in English ever. Kind of weird. But what they didn't realize was that the money that they used to buy them, he used to print more and finish it. Right. And today we're reading this in English. Over 500 years later. Thank you, Billy T. William Tyndale. It's funny that when you trust God through the fiery trials, the people that are making fun of you, the people that are giving you a hard time, the people that are giving you the hardest times, when you trust God in those times, it's funny that the things that they're trying to do to get you down will propel you forward. that you'll walk upon their insults and it'll take you to the next level with your relationship with God, the places that you want to go. The things that they do to try to destroy you are the very things that they'll do to grow you. What did they say? What did the Bebe's kids say? We don't die, we multiply. That's Bebe's. That's back from the day. Bebe's kid. They tried to bury us, but we were seeds. No. Come on, 16. That was a good one, bro. Bro, that was a good one. He just, hey, bro, you're just jealous. Just jealous. Hey, your haterism is going to take me to the next level. I can't wait for it. Bring it. And the third fire is the fire of passion. It's the fire that God puts within you that propels you forward. Because maybe you're doing okay, and maybe life is going peachy keen, and you don't have pressures in your life. Well, this is the perfect time for you to begin to sail and hit your stride, because the passion of God wants to rise up in you. Because what happens is this, is when we get comfortable, we get lazy. And I know this, when the air conditioning is just right, it makes you want to fall asleep in church. When it's a little warm, and when you wake up in the morning on a cold day, and your pillow and your blankets are so toasty warm, and you try to put your big toe out of the sheets, and you realize and recognize the 48-degree weather outside, you begin to get a little more comfortable in your bed, and you start to miss your deadlines, and you just begin to hit snooze over and over and over and over again, because it's comfortable. But when you have a place in life where everything's going well and you love God and the problems aren't surfacing, that's the time for you begin to stir it up in your life and make things difficult. It's a time, because the world isn't challenging you and maybe heaven's not challenging you. It's a time for you to rise up and challenge yourself, to get up and push yourself further. I remember there's a time in my life where I was just floating in life, and I said to myself, it's just too easy. It's just too easy to be a Christian right now. So I found the oldest dude I could find who knew the most about Jesus. And I said, what do I need to do next? And he began to drill me and give me all these tests. And he began to help me memorize scripture. And it was really, 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 really difficult. But I had to challenge myself. And it's the passion of God on the inside of me that began to propel me forward. And the verses I know and I can preach from today are because when I was 16 years old, I made myself memorize all these scriptures. Peter says a couple verses down, and we're going to shut this thing down. He says, guys, he says, oh, wait, I already read that. Boom, done. Okay, so there's this verse in Jeremiah 20. And Jeremiah is like, God, I know you have a lot of things for me to do, but it's just easier not to do them. And then all of a sudden, this burden on the inside of him began to push him forward. And it pushed him to go into the middle of the battle in your life. You've got to have the, if things are going well and you find things easy, or it's easier just to sit back and relax, you need to find a way to push yourself further. It's time for you to get busy in your life. The number one killer of Christianity, of a relationship with God in your life, is a person that doesn't do anything with it. It's a stale faith. And the only reason it gets stale is because we don't use it. I think the enemy's number one weapon against us is not temptation, it's comfort. Because if the devil can get us to comfortably walk to hell, that'll be fine. Or if he can get us to just think a bunch of nice thoughts and never do anything about them, then he's got us pegged. Well, there's a saying that says that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. People that think a lot of nice things, but that never do anything about them. Jeremiah 20 was like that. He had all these thoughts and all these words to say, and he was tempted just to think about them. But they were so big on the inside of him, he challenged himself and began to say them. Got him thrown in jail for that. Got him kidnapped for that. But the passion on the inside of him for God pushed him forward, and it got him. It got him into places that he never could have dreamed, both good and bad. But it was a passion on the inside of him that led him. So, in order to keep any fire alive, it has to be stirred up. You know, Paul, who wrote that letter, that severe, that tough, that rough letter, had a friend named Timothy, and Timothy was a little shy. He said, Timothy, you can't sit on your butt all day, man. You got to stir it up. And if nobody else will stir it up, you got to stir it up. What have you done for God lately? We're so busy waiting for him to do something for us, we forgot that we got to do something for him. Let's do this. There's three fires that God uses in our life. It's the fire of pain to help us change direction. It's the fire of pressure to keep us focused, to move us forward. And then there's this fire inside of us that God puts, this passion, this desire that we have to use and put to work to move forward. The fire of passion, the fire of pressure, and the fire of pain. Which one has God been working on you lately? Which one have you felt? Now what do you need to do about it? Because each one of those things moves us to do something. Whether it's to change, whether it's to focus and endure, or whether it's simply that fire inside of us to get off our butt, to stop leaving Jesus in church and take him with us into our real world and do something about it. Which fire has been working in your life? Because this week, God's going to put one under you because he wants us to move forward. God's a consuming fire. It's the way he works. And all those fires are meant to grow us in such good ways, not to hurt us, but to push us forward. Hey, everybody stand up. I want you to find a leader.